Hello, and welcome to the 11th episode of Tooncast, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm your host, DFG and Mike, and today I'm joined by Kevin, Professor Boss K-Dog. Hello, sir.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yes, today we will be talking about Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers. Oh, so what's been going on with you?
I am busier than I thought I would be about this time of the year. Starting school up in about 2 weeks, so I'm trying to get stuff finished with that, trying to get everything, make sure everything's good with this house that I'm buying, and doing a lot of stuff on a couple different sites like I mention every week. But
it'll save time.
But we just had the put up a whole forum section at the behindthevoiceactors.com, so it's...
Yes, I will point. It's just I don't know if you saw the tweet I posted. I love podcasting, but the sheer amount of crap that I have to for research for each episode, and that's just how I am, so I can be thorough about it, but I mean, you know, it's just,
But everybody else that listens, go to behindthevoiceactors.com, register, sign up for the forums, and talk to us.
Yes, which we will probably actually, Geekcast Radio and Behind the Voice Actors will actually be co-sponsoring. I was going to say cross-promoting each other. So look for that as well. And if you want to, you can, I can talk to Steve. Maybe he would, I don't know if he'd put it in the podcasting network, but you could probably find somewhere over on Predacon Empire to start a thread just for Behind the Voice Actors. It should probably be under entertainment.
Yeah.
Is where you could probably put that. This week this past week hasn't been a bad week, but again, like I said in episode 10, podcasting programming that I purchased should friggin' work, and it shouldn't have to be where I have to write down timestamps where sound clips are so Steve can replace them so people don't have to hear the echo like you do. But, you know, the other thing is I need a new headset because almost every time that I've used this headset, I've gone through like 3 headsets in the last 2.5 months. Either they're not comfortable enough, and I've said this before, either they're not comfortable enough or they barely even register on the Audacity or the Pamela call recorder or whatever. It's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. There, you know, I can get the original headset that I had, the very first headset I had when I first started, except I'm out of money now. It's $36.95 online at a website. So if anybody wants to donate, just let me know. No, seriously. I mean, honestly, if they want us to have, and it's not really any fault of ours as far as the call recorder software, but if they want us to have, and you know, I want it to have good quality audio as far as not having breakups in conversation or whatever. I mean, because Skype is known to do that, where you know, several times Steve will be talking and his voice will just crack up, and it's not his voice, it's the connection, or it's the recorder or whatever. So, I mean, you know, I'm seriously thinking about, you know, setting up a PayPal account or just giving out my own email address, my personal email address, which I've never given out before, as far as, because that's what my PayPal email address is for, just because, you know, this is weekly free content for everybody, which I don't really care. I didn't get into this to make money, but, you know, any little bit helps. And if they want continuous good quality shows, then we have to be able to buy the software and the equipment to be able to have that happen. I mean, I said to a friend the other day, I'm thinking about just saying the hell with a USB headset, go buy some Bose headphones and buy a desktop microphone and start using that from now on, because every USB headset I've had in the last 2.5 months has just sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who knows, if you donate, maybe you'll get a plug on the show, or if you donate enough, maybe we'll let you talk something.
No. Not falling in the trap of we'll plug anything this time. But anyway, just to let everybody know, Tooncast 10 is out. Yes, it is 4 hours long. Sorry. It's just the way it is.
You can't shrink He-Man.
No, that's another subject I'm not even going
to. Unless you're Skeletor.
It's another subject I'm not going anywhere near at all. Actually, on that subject, talking about He-Man, I'm a very much do it now, get it done type of person. So I have gone through over the last probably 4 or 5 days, probably midweek to now, middle of last week to now, and I've gotten all the information for scripts from episode 6 all the way to 24 for M-Wire. And I was doing research on episode 20, which is the Masters of the Universe film.
Yes.
And somebody said, I don't know who quoted it, but somebody said Frank Langella's Skeletor could almost be like Darkseid. Is a dandy Darkseid. And apparently that's what the filmmakers were going for. They were going for that fourth Jack Kirby, fourth world type of New Gods thing. With that movie, because none of it really is any continuity or relevance to
right.
the cartoon or the action figures or whatever. But yeah, I've got tons. Just some of this stuff is just mind-boggling what I found out this week. especially, what is it, episode, I think it's 12 or 13, yeah, episode 12 of M-Wire. Will be Daredevil and Elektra, and I found out on Wiki that Ben Affleck said that it was so humiliating for him to wear a superhero costume, he will never don the Daredevil costume again, which I think kind of sucks, but whatever. do you have anything else you want to talk about?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, I guess we're going to get into the show today. As we said in the intro, we're going to be talking about Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. So let's get into the history lesson. Take it away, Professor.
All right, nerds, this is the Professor, and again, it is time for this week's history lesson. For episode 11, we shift into the wonderful, wonderful world of Disney. Having watched its $20 million investment in 1987's DuckTales payoff in spades, Disney invested $28 million in its 1988 half-hour series, Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, which joined DuckTales as the second half hour of the daily syndicated Disney Afternoon. It was the first time that Disney created a first-run syndicated series featuring the studio's primary characters. Like DuckTales, Chippendales was constantly produced and written. Its Asian animation work, strictly supervised by Disney's Hollywood staff, succeeded in putting most other overseas output to shame. Also like DuckTales, Rescue Ranger was introduced to syndication with a 2-hour special, accompanied by what Disney describes as the largest national marketing and promotional campaign ever to launch an animated television strip. And again, also like DuckTales, Chippendales was a cash cow for everyone concerned, paving the way for such future syndicated Disney triumphs as Tailspin, Darkwing Duck, and Goof Troop. After a run on the Disney Channel from August of 1988 to September of 1989, the series went into syndication, and the final of the 65 half-hour episodes aired in November of 1990. All right, let's get into the rest of Chippendale's Rescue Rangers episode. This has been the Professor, and like always, class is dismissed.
It is now time for the General Memories segment. This show, oh God, all I can do is shake my head. Honestly, I don't even really remember watching this. I remember catching it in passing when it was originally on, and this was when I actually caught it, majority of it, in syndication. It was okay. It it's not really anything for me to write home about. I don't know. I like, you know, like I was telling you off air on Skype, I like the characters of Chippendale. I like their dynamic with each other. But I really could give a crap less for any of the other characters.
Blasphemy. Well, I agree with you. I love Chippendale, like, growing up, seeing them on, like, their different shorts and stuff like that, and, you know, the old school stuff. I always loved their characters, so I was, like, super excited when they had their own cartoon like this come out. This was kind of a transition phase. As far as the Disney stuff, I mean, Disney kind of took over the cartooning business, it seemed like, in the last couple years of the 80s and into the early 90s, and I remember being a huge fan of Chippendale Rescue Rangers and DuckTales, and then I think it must have been when Tailspin came out, I must have been transitioning out of cartoons for a while, because I didn't really get into any of the Disney stuff after that. I watched them, but I didn't watch them as much as I watched DuckTales, Chippendales, and Tailspin. I mean, I started to kind of phase out as Darkwing Duck, Goof Troop, and all the other stuff that came after it was there. So
that's for me. Phase Darkwing Duck started. What the hell kind of?
I watched Darkwing Duck. I just didn't watch it as religiously as I watched DuckTales and Chippendales Rescue Rangers. And I think Tailspin, I was somewhere in the middle. I think that was kind of where I started phasing out. But so I remember it a lot. Yeah, you have to remember the theme song. I mean, I know we'll get into that later, but that's just so classic. And I understand what you're saying about the characters. The characters weren't necessarily, like you said, anything to write home about. I did like a couple of them, besides Chip and Dale, but you're right. A lot of them didn't have that much going for them to make it, like, a memorable, like, I don't think a lot of people could name, if you asked them to name Chip and Dale characters, I don't know if they could get past Chip and Dale.
Yeah, I mean,
they might be able to name one or two, and that would be about it.
You know, as far as the heroes, and of course we're going to get this to this later once we get into the characters and the voice actors, but I mean, you know, I remember Zipper, I remember Monty, or Monterey Jack, and I remember Gidget, or whatever the hell her damn name
is. Gadget.
Whatever. It's close enough. You know, I remember them, and since I watched a few of the episodes on YouTube between yesterday and today, I do remember a lot of the villains and stuff, but it just wasn't a show that really, it wasn't really anything that resonated with me. It wasn't really anything that I really enjoyed that much. I prefer Chip and Dale themselves as a foil for Pluto or Donald. They're much, Pluto, Mickey's dog, and Donald Duck. They are much funnier in that than in this, I think.
I agree with that to a point. I think this show does have some stuff that those things didn't have, which we'll get into. I'll get into a little bit later, but I liked them better with what you were saying too.
Yeah. So I guess that's it for this one. We're going to move on. Okay, on to the characters and the voice actors. I guess we can start with just the character descriptions. We can start with the heroes. Chip, he's the leader of the Rescue Rangers, loosely modeled on Indiana Jones. Chip wears a fedora and bomber jacket and frequently uses rope or lasso to swing to other spots. Chip tends to be serious, with a strong sense of responsibility, to the point that he is sometimes accused of not knowing how to have fun. He can be domineering and often ends up in squabbles with Dale over his more laid-back manner. That makes no sense whatsoever. Anyway, at times, though, he also lets himself go and joins Dale in some frivolity, voiced by Tress McNeil. Wow, I did not know that.
Didn't know that.
Oh, did not know that.
Oh,
okay, all these chipmunks, Alvin, Chippendale, they, you know, especially Chip and then Alvin and the chipmunks, they all sound the same to me, with that high-pitched voice type of dealy, and I'm like, I don't know.
There's a reason Alvin and Simon and Theodore all sound the same, though. They're all basically the same people.
But yeah, no, I understand that. you know, as I said in the General Memories segment, I like these two. You know, I mean, we'll, you know, you can talk about Dale in a minute, but the two of them, I like them better in the old Disney cartoons more than here.
I think they had a classic feeling in the old Disney cartoons, and they had a lot of a lot more care put into their gags and their scripts and stuff like that. But I think as far as the cartoon goes, they were allowed to be a little more like rounded characters. They had a little more, I don't know. It wasn't just like the chasing each other, the pranks and stuff like that. It was, you know, you get to hear them interact, I think, a little more in the cartoon, if that makes any sense.
And I mean, in this cartoon, they pretty much had, they had that same dynamic with each other as far as fighting each other over stuff or getting into arguments. They had that dynamic. But I don't know. This cartoon just doesn't, I don't know, it just, this is one of those ones I really could give two shits less about, to be honest.
Off with your head. All right. Dale wears a red and yellow Hawaiian shirt, reminiscent of Thomas Magnum and Magnum P.I. Though dedicated to the job, he is a fun-loving, mischievous prankster who is sometimes irresponsible and forgets to think before he acts. He spends his free time reading comic books and playing video games, and he's a known candy addict. Dale has chocolate attacks similar to Monterey Jack's cheese attacks. He frequently finds himself being knocked on the head by Chip when he says or does something foolish. Despite Dale's silliness, Dale has proven to be quite intelligent when he notices things before the others. One example is discovering the plan of a doctor in the rainforest who was stealing chocolate and hypnotizing people with special mosquitoes. And he is voiced by well-known Corey Burton.
And again, I did not know that. I mean, a lot of these, because, again, I haven't, other than watching it on YouTube over the last 2 days, I haven't seen this show since it aired.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really anything I really, you know, paid that much attention to. I mean, you know, just, I don't know. Monterey Jack, or Monty, to his friends, is an adventure-loving Australian mouse who spends his years traveling the world before a chance meeting with Chip and Dale during their first case. After Fat Cat destroyed his home, Monty and his sidekick Zipper decided to join the group in their detective work. Stronger and larger than the others, Monty can be quick to anger if he or his friends has been offended. This trait sometimes leaves him ready to do battle with much larger opponent and the others having to calm him down. Monty has an overpowering addiction to cheese and has a slight, and at the slight smell of cheese causes him to be hypnotically drawn to it, even when his friends are in danger, thus sometimes making him worthless. Chip often identifies him as the cheese junkie. Monty loves to tell stories of his travels, even if the others often stop his reminiscing, and he often uses color for pseudo-Australianisms while talking, such as Stripe and Starkers. Monterey Jack is the only rescue ranger known to have two living parents, Cheddarhead Charlie and... yeah, whatever. Anyway, who are also travelers. Monty is mostly frequently found in the company of either Zipper or Dale, who his fun-loving nature matches his own. He also seems to consider Gadget to be something of a surrogate daughter, most likely due to his long friendship with her late father, voiced by Peter Cullen and Jim Cummings. You know, this is one that... Monty is one character that I had no... This truly shows you the range that Cullen has. Now, I didn't know that Cummings was the backup voice for him, but you can clearly hear Peter Cullen in this character, even an Australian accent or whatever. It's just amazing.
And if you want to hear exactly what he sounds like, no, just kidding, I won't plug my site again.
Com, we know.
There is a Monterey Jack clip on there, so you can listen to it. Gadget, Hackwrench, is a young female mouse and the team's pilot, mechanic, and inventor, the daughter of deceased inventor and aviator, I have no idea, Giga Hackwrench, who was a good friend of Monterey Jack. She first met Chip and Dale when Monty brought them to Giga's in search of an airplane. At loose ends since her father's death and eager to help, she joins the team. Gadget moves quickly, thinks quickly, and talks quickly, sometimes leaving the others looking dazed and confused. In addition to building and maintaining the Ranger plane, Gadget is the one responsible for the various technological items used by the team and is regularly inventing new vehicles and tools for the team's use. She has the uncanny ability to take discarded and unrelated items and invent nearly anything with them. Unfortunately, her creations don't always work the way she intends, and have sometimes failed at just the wrong moment to cause the team trouble. Both Chip and Dale are attracted to Gadget and often compete for her attention, since she's the only girl. But she doesn't seem to notice in many cases and has never demonstrated a preference for either, and she is also voiced by Trace McNeil.
Yes, and the final hero is Zipper, a tiny little green housefly and longtime friend of sidekick of Monterey Jack. With his tiny size and flying abilities, Zipper often handles little jobs that the rest of the Rescue Rangers cannot. He speaks in unintelligible buzzes that only Monty and other insects are able to understand. Despite his tiny size, Zipper occasionally has impressive displays of strength, which are matched only by his unwavering loyalty to his friends. He's voiced by Corey Burton. Just overall on the heroes, again, as a kid, I probably liked the supporting cast of the heroes, but as an, I guess, an adult now, I really could. I mean, Monty and Zipper are fun, but I don't know. I just, this cartoon just isn't one for me anymore, I guess.
I like Chip and Dale, and I like Zipper. I didn't like as a kid, and I still don't like Gadget.
Yeah.
She just annoys me. And Monterey, sometimes I like him, sometimes I don't. But, you know, like you said, I like Chip and Dale, and I thought Zipper was pretty cool.
Yeah. You can take the villains if you want.
Obviously, the most famous villain that maybe people could remember, I don't think they'd remember most of his sidekicks, but the main one being Fat Cat, which is a gray tabby cat and one of the Rescue Rangers' most frequent antagonists, formerly owned by criminal Aldrin Clardane. Fat Cat became an independent agent and animal world crime boss after Clardane is incarcerated. Unordinately proud of his appearance, Fat Cat keeps his whiskers clean, wears a purple business suit, and has a taste for expensive things. He's a ruthless criminal mastermind, and his plans, though sometimes bizarre, are nevertheless dangerous and sadistic. Fat Cat hates dogs, and several of his schemes have been attacks against them. The only thing he hates more than dogs are the Rescue Rangers, which he always tries to get rid of using an elaborate and slow method rather than killing them immediately, like most cartoon villains. The complexity of his plans usually ends up being his downfall, and he is also voiced by Jim Cummings. He's usually accompanied by four henchmen, which we'll get into in a second. I like Fat Cat for the most part, but he's just your typical bad character. There's nothing like special about him.
First of all, it's a complete role reversal for how cats and dogs are supposed to react.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That just means whoever wrote it was a cat fan.
Cats drool, dogs rule. Anyway.
Don't say that again.
Anyways, going into his cohorts here, Wart, a lizard who dresses in gangster-style suit and hat, similar to his boss, is voiced by Jim Cummings. Mole, a slow-witted but cheerful, this overweight mole wears an undersized red t-shirt and a yellow hat. When plans go wrong, Mole usually is the one who Fat Cat chooses to use as a punching bag. Mole also has a love for candy, voiced by Corey Burton. Meps is a thin yellow alley cat dressed in a ratty blue vest and toboggan who speaks with a whiny voice. His voice, wow. No way.
Yeah.
I did not know that he's voiced by Peter Cullen. Holy crap. And Snout, a rat that wears short sleeve red turtleneck with a black vest and dark blue hat that covers his eyes, is usually only seen briefly, voiced by Corey Burton.
I think this is one of the cartoon's faults, is their bad characters.
Very much so.
I mean, they just don't have good, you gotta have classic villains in a cartoon, and these are all just like background characters.
Again, they're Fat Cat's henchmen.
Yeah.
But
so, I mean, that speaks to why they're background characters, but still.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you still need good henchmen.
If you look back at the shows that we've done recently, I mean, just look at, like He-Man, Silverhawk, Thundercats, all the ones we've recently done. Yeah, they have this, epic bad guy, but even the henchmen for a lot of those shows are memorable.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, I was comparing that because I'm still waiting and anticipating my Darkwing Duck DVDs finally after so long, and they're still not here. Damn it. Anyway, I actually searched for Darkwing on YouTube just because I thought we were going to move it up, but as of right now, it's still sitting where it's supposed to be. Darkwing has better hench villains than this show.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And the other main villain besides Fat Cat is Professor Norton Nimnall.
Yes.
who's the other, obviously the Ranger's other major enemy. He's a mad scientist who once worked for Clordane. Though Nimnoh is an intelligent and creative scientist, his plans often lack any trace of logic and tend to be extremely convoluted. For example, he kidnapped all the cats in the city to make an immense amount of static electricity. And in his appearance in the pilot, he constructed a laser cannon designed to create a giant gelatin mold which would be used to cause an earthquake under the United States Gold Reserve. Nimnoh has receding red hair, wears very thick glasses, and a high-pitched laugh, and he is voiced by, again, Jim Cummings.
Yeah. Nimnoh, I have to say, reading this now, I hadn't read his character description before. He kidnapped all the cats in the city to make an immense amount of static electricity. It's actually funny that I read that now, because before we started recording tonight, I was watching Disney XD is running a was running an all-day marathon of Phineas and Ferb, and one of Dr. Doofenshmirtz's schemes in one of the episodes was to buy a whole bunch of carpeting and wear socks to create
nice
electricity.
Nice.
So it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Final major villains, even though they were only seen very shortly, the Siamese twin gang, two Siamese cats, the only laundromat, an illegal underground casino. Though not major villains, these two characters have been considered as Asian stereotypes due to the fact that they own a laundromat and speak in horrible English.
No comment.
I don't know if that's something that you added in or if that's something that was already there.
No, that was something that was already there.
Okay. I guess we can go into the voice actors. Again, you know, this show just has awesome, just the first four.
And that's basically who did most. I mean, yeah, you have a couple of people that did, like, some small roles, but basically this is four people. This is, like, our smallest cast, I think, to date. I mean, it's basically four people that do everything.
Smallest cast to date was last week.
How many did we have last week?
Four.
This is basically four.
Well, yeah, but anyways.
I mean, you got Corey Burton, Jim Cummings, Trace McNeil, and Peter Cullen. I mean, they're doing all the major voices.
Yes.
And even and Peter Cullen, really, I mean, I guess he does two of them. Jim Cummings is the headliner here, I think.
Well,
cause,
yeah.
I mean, this is what makes you appreciate him as a voice actor. I mean,
majority of Disney stuff, didn't he?
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff. But, I mean, this one, just the range and the stuff that he's doing here, it was pretty phenomenal. Because watching the show, I couldn't have told you that, like, Nimnoh and Fat Cat and Monterey Jack at times, I couldn't have told you that they were all the same character at all.
See, I never heard Jim in Monty. I always heard Peter Cullen. I don't know if that was maybe later episodes or...
Yeah, it's hard to say.
You know, I mean, maybe that was later episodes down the line in the show's...
And I think Trace McNeil does a fantastic job doing Gadget and Chip.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
I mean,
I don't have a problem with that at all. I just didn't know that she was the one that did Chip. I mean, it goes to show how, you know, the female species can pretty much outvoice us males all the time for the majority as far as young, old, high-pitch, low-pitch type of...
Yeah, you're not going to find many male voice actors that can pull off a lot of female characters.
Not at all. again, even though I rag on this show, and I probably will rag on it more as this episode goes on, I don't think there's been one show that we've recorded yet that we haven't praised the voice cast.
Thundercats and Silverhawks a little bit.
Well,
Lynn Lipton. I'm sorry.
Of Tooncast's lifespan so far, we've praised the voice actors for the majority of them. There may be one or two that one of us doesn't like, but,
yeah,
you know, for the majority, there hasn't been a voice cast on a whole that we've actually just bashed.
Right, and I wouldn't put the show, I mean, this is show number 11, I wouldn't even put this in the top, like, I don't know, I wouldn't even put it in the top 8, I don't think, of the shows that we've done, but as far as voice acting goes, I would put it right near the top.
Yeah, oh yeah, very much so.
I mean, the voice acting in this is, I mean, besides... I don't know, besides maybe Animaniacs and Tiny Toons, I mean, it's up there towards the top with the quality of voice acting in here.
Oh, yes, very much.
I think it would definitely be above Thundercats, Silverhawks, Dexter's Lab, and a couple of the other ones.
Well, you know, almost everything is above Dexter's Lab.
Thank you.
I'm not denying that, and as I admitted in Episode 9 that, you know, I fully admit that I put Dexter there just because...
Yeah.
They had a huge-ass job of doing He-Man and She-Ra the next week. So, yes. I guess we're going to move on to the next segment. Really don't have that much else to say about the voice actors unless you do.
No, great cast, and I won't even mention some of the other characters that are in it.
I'm Paulson fanboy.
You...
Okay, now we're going behind the scenes with this show, whatever.
Don't be so enthused.
Really, this is not an enthused show. production, when Ted Stones first came up with the idea for Rescue Rangers series, Chip and Dale were not a part of the show. In the original idea, the show would center around a team of animals, which included a chameleon and an early draft of Gadget and Monterey Jack with a different name. The main character, though, was an Indiana Jones-type mouse named Kit Colby, who sported a fedora and a fluffy collared leather jacket. When he proposed the show in a meeting with Michael Eisner and Jeffrey Katzenberg, the idea was well received, except for the character of Kit Colby. At Eisner's suggestion, he was replaced with the Chipmunk duo to give the show some established Disney characters to work with. Now, I do agree with that. I don't think this show would have been the same without Chip and Dale.
Oh, no. It would not have worked.
Well, no, not at all. It would have been a complete fucking flop. But at the same time, you know, I'm still not sold on this show.
Chip and Dale were established characters, to bring them into the series, only their general appearance and broad personality traits were kept. Unlike their appearances in Disney shorts, in the Rescue Rangers, the Chipmunk duo are very verbal, which is kind of what I was alluding to earlier, with Chip obviously voiced by Trace McMahon and Dale by Corey Burton. Audio processing was used to speed up the voice recordings and give the voices a higher pitch, particularly Chip's. The pair were given clothes, Chip the clothing of the original concept that Kit had, while the goofier Dale incidentally modeled after Magnum P.I. with his Hawaiian shirt, like we said before.
Yes, the series premiered in 1989 on the Disney Channel before moving to a regular slot on the Disney Afternoon lineup the next year. The show's opening theme was performed by the pop group The Jets. It was written by Mark Mueller and an ASCAP award-winning pop music songwriter who also wrote the theme song to DuckTales.
We'll get more into his songs in a little bit.
yeah, we'll talk about the music in a bit. You know, I think the only thing as far as Chip and Dale's appearance that they kept, obviously, was majority of their, you know, their appearance is fine. I don't know. I actually like them talking. And see, I remember them talking in the...
They didn't talk a lot, though, in the shorts. That's the way... Like... That's the one thing I liked better about this cartoon was that we got to hear from them a lot more.
Well, the
if I had to choose, I would choose watching a Chip and Dale short over an episode of Rescue Rangers. But I remember as a kid being excited because I'd watched all the shorts and I always wanted to hear them like talk more. And then in this cartoon, you got to hear it. So that was one thing why I kind of got drawn to this cartoon when I was watching it as a kid.
Yeah, well, I think with the shorts, the thing was obviously they were the antagonist for Pluto, technically, in those cartoons, Pluto, for the majority of it, was the antagonist, and they were the protagonist, especially when he's trying to drive them out of their home. But, I mean, you know, you can hear them talking every now and then when they're trying to, like, come up with plans and stuff like that. And I think for those shorts, that works. It probably wouldn't work for this, but, and you know, like you said, it's nice to hear them. But I still prefer the shorts.
I agree with you on that.
Get into the writers. I don't know.
There isn't a lot of, like, you know, famous names as far as the writing goes.
Outside of David Wise, I don't recognize any of these.
Yeah, David Wise is the only one that I recognize, and he was only, you know, there for about three episodes. Yes. So I don't know, Julia LeWald and Kevin Hofton. Obviously, Tad Stone was the creator, and Larry Swerdlove, but I've never heard of any of them besides David Wise. And I have not seen any of the special features on the DVD, so I don't really have a big amount of knowledge as far as the, you know, any of the behind-the-scenes tidbits and trivia, so...
I don't have the DVDs, so...
But they are out there, so we'll talk about those later.
No, I know they're out there, but I just don't have any of them, so I guess we're going to move on. It is time for the not the behind-the-scenes. Crap, we already did that.
Take two.
Cool show, yeah.
It's been a long time since you forgot about the actual show.
I was going to say, let's have a count of how many episodes where I forgot which segment.
You were on a streak. I think you had two or three in a row where you got it.
Yeah, I know.
back to your normal self.
It's too much podcasting.
So now for the actual show.
Get away.
This is just the basic premise here. Chip and Dale, two chipmunks with a nose for trouble, start a detective agency to rescue Rangers, along with their friends Gadget Monitor, Jack, and Zipper, and the pint-sized detectives deal with crimes that are often too small for the police to handle, usually with other animals as their clients. We didn't mention the police dog, Plato, being one of those people that often is involved with the schemes there. The gang frequently finds itself going up against two particular arch-villains, mafia-style Tabby Cat, Fat Cat, and mad scientist Norton Nimnall. And also, just real quick, if you look down like an episode list of Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers, you'll notice that most of the episodes are at least somewhat based or tied to famous works of literature, famous movies. Just looking at some of the names of them, you would see that a lot of times they're kind of spoofing different stuff in pop culture history.
Oh, yeah, very, very much so. Some trivia for you. The series was originally going to feature the characters from The Rescuers, 1977. This idea was scrapped when Disney's feature animation department greenlit The Rescuers Down Under in 1990. Series creator Tad Stone's original concepts for the series did not include Chip and Dale in the cast. A version pitched to Michael Eisner and Jeffrey Katzenberg featured a mouse character named Kit Colby as the main protagonist. It was Eisner who said... Now, wait, we just said that in the behind-the-scenes.
I just wanted to see you read something twice.
Oh, kick your ass. God damn it. Do we have any errors or any recurring themes? Apparently not, since they're not written down.
Yeah, just for theme-wise, I think, you know, like you said in the... Or like I just said in the episodes, you're going to have a lot of spoofs. Like, you have Zipper portraying, like, a King Kong-type person going up to the top of the tower with the... You know, holding somebody while the police are shining their lights on them. You have, you know, I don't have the episodes in front of me. I wish I could name a couple of them real quick, but they're all references to, you know, pop culture. That's the biggest recurring theme that I've found.
Yeah, pretty much. So I guess since the actual show is a very short segment, we're going to just go straight into the music instead of splitting up segments here. As I said before, the theme song was performed by the Jets. The series original music by Glenn Daum and Ron Jones. As I said to you on Skype before we started recording this, the only three good things about this show for me...
Oh, stop.
is Chip and Dale and the theme song, and that's it.
And the voice acting.
Well, besides that, but I mean, just...
I think the music in this, I think you're right, though. The music, not only the theme song, I think the music throughout the whole show was pretty good. They at times had little musical numbers or ditties throughout the episodes, breaking out in little songs or stuff like that. The music kept it. One thing good I'll say, since this is kind of both music and with the actual show, is that they did a good job not letting there be dead moments. There was, the music and the action was constantly moving. Like, there was never a lull in the episodes. You are always going from one thing to the other, whether it would be through action or through music. And I think that was a big plus for it. Mm-hmm. And since I always have to say something about the theme song, this theme song is easily one of the top 10 theme songs from the 80s and 90s. This is just a fantastic theme song, and I didn't know, but I'm not surprised that the same person did DuckTales, because they're both top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Just great theme song. Everybody would remember the theme song that was a kid during that time period. You might not remember the characters as much, but you're going to remember the theme song.
Oh, yeah, it's very much so. So I guess, since there really isn't that much else to talk about, we're going to move on to the next one, because I really... Yeah, you're right. You said off air, this is probably going to be the shortest episode of Tooncast yet, and I think you're probably right, considering last week was 4 hours and 50 minutes.
See, we did that on purpose. We put Dexter on one side and Chip and Dale's on the other side of He-Man.
Exactly.
It'll all balance itself out.
That's right. It is now time for the Legacy segment. Let's go into the reception. In January 2009, IGN named Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers as the 60th best in top 100 animated TV shows. What the hell is wrong with these people?
I think that's a good ranking.
What the hell is wrong with these people? It was the number one rated syndicated cartoon for the 1989-1990 season in the American market. What the hell?
Yeah, see, you're wrong with your hatred of Chippendale's Rescue Rangers. That's
fucking wrong!
Nope, 60th best, and it was number one in the season.
That's fucking wrong.
You can't argue with history facts.
There were plenty of other good cartoons season. Yes,
there wasn't.
It was nominated for a Daytime Emmy for Outstanding Animated Program for Tad Stones, Alan Zaslav, Ken Koontz, and a whole bunch of other friggin' people that I don't know.
Daytime Emmy nomination, number one syndicated rated cartoon, and 60th best of all time. You can't argue with this stuff.
Hell up.
Except for the IGN listing. You can argue with
that. Exactly. The IGN list is fucked up. It should be at like 99.
None of the other ones can you argue with, though.
Going into the merchandise, in the fall of 1989, McDonald's produced a series of Chippendale Rescue Rangers themed Happy Meal toys that included versions of the main characters riding small vehicles. Scenes from series were incorporated into the TV commercials advertising the Happy Meals. A monthly comic book based on the show was published by Disney Comics in 1990 that ran for 19 issues. Subsequent comic stories were printed in Disney Adventures from 90 to 95, as well as in the Disney Afternoon comic book published by Marvel Comics. Wow, Marvel did Disney? Holy crap. A 1990 issue of the Comic Scene magazine reported that the theatrical feature film based on the series was planned for 1991 release. However, the film never happened, possibly due to the lackluster performance of DuckTales, the movie Treasure of the Lost Lamp.
I like that. Just to give you a quick idea, since we were mentioning it, 1989 to 1990, the stuff it was going up against, not very good stuff. You got Barnyard Commandos, you got The New Adventures of He-Man, which we talked about, was god-awful. That was just when Captain Planet was starting, and then...
Let's not get into that. And then go there.
Then you have Ring Raiders. That was when Super Mario Brothers Super Show was starting. And, you know, Beetlejuice. That was what it was going... Captain N, I guess, was the best thing it was going up against, but...
Yeah, you know, as far as video games, in 1990, Capcom released the Disney's Chippendale Rescue Rangers platform video game for the Nintendo Entertainment System. The game offered both single-player and cooperative modes and allowed players to choose which levels to access via the map. That gave them access to various locations in the city. Each individual stage was set up as a side-scrolling action game where Chippendale can walk, jump, duck, and pick up objects such as acorns, crates, and barrels to throw at enemies and bosses. In the game, the Rangers must stop another of Fat Cat's schemes, only to have his kidnapping of gadgets send Chippendale to the rescue. Wow, that sounds amazingly like Crash Bandicoot. No, seriously, can walk, jump, duck, and pick up objects such as acorns? I mean, hello, Crash Bandicoot had that orange fruity stuff.
Yeah.
Also released in 1990, high-tech expressions PC game Chippendale Rescue Rangers, The Adventure in Nimnal's Castle saw the Rangers having to rescue Monterey Jack, who is caught in a mousetrap in Professor Norton Nimnal's castle. To rescue him, the Chipmunks must infiltrate the castle to collect various parts so Gadget can build a flying machine to reach Monterey Jack. In 1993, Capcom released the second NES game, Chippendale Rescue Rangers 2. The game was slightly superior graphically to the first game and featured additional incentives for cooperative play, such as mini-games that can only be unlocked with two players, and the ability to throw your partner as a weapon. Okay, yeah, video games for the show, just like the show itself, sucked.
I never played any of them, so I have no idea.
I never did either. The DVD releases, Walt Disney Studios Home Entertainment has released some of the series on DVD. Two volumes have been released in Region 1 thus far, featuring the first 51 episodes of the series. In Region 2, one volume has been released on DVD, which contains 7 fewer episodes than the Region 1 sets. No release date have been set for any additional volumes. The episodes on the first volume are arranged by production date, while the episodes on the second volume are arranged by original air date.
Which makes no sense why they would do that.
They do that. I would prefer one or the other.
Yeah, just stick with one of them.
Yeah.
You can get them for about, I don't know, they range between $20 and $40, I think, still. So they're kind of expensive. But...
Again, like with Silverhawks, I'm sorry, that's too much.
Not for Silverhawks.
Kind of, yeah. I had it for $39.99. I'm not
Silver. The difference with Silverhawks is you get the whole series for that price, and this one you're getting a fourth of it.
No, that's not the whole series. That's Season 1, Volume 1.
What's that?
Silverhawks was Season 1, Volume 1.
Oh, that's right. I forget. Yeah. I was thinking of a different one.
Sorry. no, I don't think so.
I've been tempted to pick up the Chippendales, at least one of the volumes, many different times, and I've just held back every time, but I don't think it's necessarily that bad. I'm not like you.
Well, no, it's supposed to... The way I view these older cartoons, they should be released in their original form, whatever that may be, and not have crap replaced. This is just the way I feel. I know it's not the way it's going to happen, and they should be released in complete series form. Just because that's the way it should be, especially with, you know, shows that really aren't that... I mean, Chippendales is popular, no doubt. You know, DuckTales is very popular, no doubt. But they should release them...
Especially DuckTales.
You know, they should release them either in complete series form, or if they're going to do volume form, do it like they're doing, do it like Disney's doing the X-Men volumes, which X-Men, the Marvel Comic Book Collection Volume 3 and 4 are coming out September 15th. I'm actually watching Volume 1's Disc 2 right now in the other room, and it's basically the whole series, but it's broken up into volumes. So
you have X-ray vision.
Yes, I have X-ray vision.
Sweet.
Anyway.
Go Gadget and Mechanac.
No. And on that note, I think we're going to go into the closing. All right, it is time for the final thoughts before we go into the closing. What are your final thoughts?
I'm not gonna be as down on this one as you are.
That's why I had you go first.
I actually think this show is a pretty good, well-rounded show. I think it's got a little of everything. You got, you know, your female character that's a pretty prominent character in it. You got, you know, the characters speak to all different types of people. Like you said, you got your Magnum PI, your Indiana Jones type character. I almost see Monterey Jack as like a Crocodile Dundee type character, and Gadget as a horrible MacGyver type character, and then you got your mob people for the, you know, the bad guy. So it's gonna speak to whatever genres of, you know, cartoons and film that you like. It has some comedy in there. It's fast paced. The music is there. I mean, so it has a lot of different elements that can speak to you. Is it worth buying the complete series and watching all 65 episodes? No, it's not. Is it worth going to YouTube or you know, something like that and watching a few episodes if you were a fan of it as a kid just to reminisce and have a good time for an hour or so? Yeah, it is. You're not going to – I think it does somewhat stand up a little bit. I much rather watch one of these episodes than Dexter's. But you know, it's – to me, it's got a little bit for everybody, and I liked it as a kid. So did everybody since it was number one rated TV show for a year. But it's not worth watching 65 episodes of, but I enjoyed it nonetheless.
And still, episode 9 is behind us. Stop bringing it up. It's already over.
I don't like...
Episode is over. You don't even have to listen to it if you don't want to.
No, I got. There's a couple things I always have to bring up, and that is episode 9 and Lynn Lipton.
No. Episode 9 alone. You know, as I've said throughout the episode today, I would much rather watch Chippendale in the shorts with Pluto or Donald Duck.
I see another poll coming.
Then I wouldn't. God.
What is better, Chippendale shorts or Chippendale Rescue Rangers?
You're fucking polls.
I like Chippendale shorts better, but I think someone, you know, people don't be swayed too much. Go out and watch an episode and see for yourself.
Well, yeah, but you know, but like you said,
just don't buy them.
Don't go out and buy them. Go out and preview them on YouTube. But you know, this is not a series that Tooncast recommends you to buy.
No, because if you go out and buy it, you're gonna pop it in at home and you're gonna watch like two or three episodes and then you're never gonna watch it again.
Exactly, and that's the way I felt. The first episode I found on YouTube, "Fake Me to Your Leader,"
wasn't that bad.
As soon as I watched it, I'm like, oh fuck, I'm not watching any more of this damn show. It was horrible.
Watch five episodes and reminisce and then be done with it.
I understand the premise of that episode, and the premise of the actual show is to focus on Chippendale and all the, you know, these animals.
but, and to suspend reality.
Well, yeah, but I mean, still, that episode, they portrayed the humans as fucking dumbasses.
Hold on. aren't humans fucking dumbasses?
Okay, well, I'm not going to get into that. It's too semantical, but I mean, for Christ's sake, you see a 60-foot bug and you think it's a fucking alien?
If I see a 60-foot bug, I'm thinking it's an alien. I'm sorry.
God.
If I see a 60-foot pill bug staring me down in the street, I'm running like hell and I'm thinking something just took over the world.
Okay, but... All right, for us as the audience that know who the characters are, outside of the generic pill bugs, if you see a 50-foot zipper, you know...
And I'm thinking something bad's happening.
And I mean the fly, not the... I mean the character in the show, you know... You wouldn't think it's an alien. You would think, oh, that's just Zipper. He got large. What the hell happened?
That version of Zipper reminds me of, like, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Yeah, exactly. So before this goes too much more into a train wreck, we're going to go into the closing. What the fuck was that?
Train wreck.
Oh, good Lord. Thank you for joining us here on TuneCast. There are several ways you can get in touch with us or leave feedback for the show. The first is you can visit www.geekcastradio.com and find all your other GCRN podcasts there. The second is you can stop by PredaconEmpire.com/CafeSpark and get all your GCRN Transformers discussion topics there. The third is you can leave the show feedback on iTunes. Please do this. Please. You can also comment on the website on at GeekcastRadio.com. So yeah, start commenting, people. The fourth is you can visit the earth-2.net forums and find all our threads under the show for the shows under the self-promotion section. The fifth is you can go over to behindthevoiceactors.com and hear all of these other the comparisons for these voices, which I don't think you're going to have too much of a comparison for this show.
No, we don't have the comparisons. We do have the theme song. We have pictures of the characters as well as the voice actors that did it for this show, but no comparisons.
And the final is the email address, which is gcrnmwire@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. The show name there is gcrnmwire. Mine is TFG1 Mike, and yours is what?
Boss K Dog. That's two S's and a K D A W G.
Actually, remembered this time.
I'm good. That means next week I'll forget.
Exactly. We hope you enjoyed this episode of TuneCast, and wish that you join us next time when we'll be reminiscing on the Smurfs, those blue things. Wow, is that what?
Woohoo! Smurf fan.
What? What color does it? Wait, what was that?
Shut up.
Oh, I'll have to get that for next week. I'll have to get that, Jeff.
Next week may turn into an explicit podcast.
They're all explicit podcasts.
I know. A more explicit podcast.
Good Lord. For now, I am TFG1 Mike with...
The Professor Boss K-Dog, who did not get You're a Smug Son of a Bitch this week.
I don't... And of course, the damn thing won't work.
Yes.
Wait, there it goes. Come on, work. Work, damn you, work.
You mug, son of a...
There, now I have closure.
Yes, exactly. So, saying the immortal horns of Optimus Prime, transform and roll out. And thank you for listening. Until next time.